We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
And we're recording for the first time. What has it been? 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been like 3 weeks.
That's wild.
It almost feels like even longer.
I know, it really, really does. It really does.
So long.
We got a new holy water, guys. It is...
Liz just invented it.
Yeah, right now. It's so good. It's vodka and a lime white claw and this like pomegranate syrup. Holy fuck.
It's pomegranate syrup?
Yeah. Or like a juice. It's pomegranate juice. And I only did a tiny bit.
Oh my god. It looks pretty too. If we ever go on tour, that's what we'll serve at the bar.
So good. Yeah. Tito's vodka. The only way to go.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know why it's an elite vodka.
I don't know either. Because like whenever I order it at a bar and I say like, let's do Tito's. I'm feeling fancy. I always get like a face from the waitress.
It's because like, that's like such bitch. A white girl drink.
They're like, that's true.
Another white bitch ordering Tito's soda.
Yeah, wow, groundbreaking.
With 11 limes.
Oh my god. I only order lemons now.
I love lemons.
Me too.
I don't like limes in vodka.
Well, vodka has ruined limes for me. Like every time I
tequila has ruined limes for me.
Oh my god, I drank tequila over the weekend when I was in Oregon. Mm-mm.
People are like, can we get you to take a shot? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's just like, no.
My body fully rejects whenever I take a shot of tequila. My body's like, get it out now. Mm-hmm. Like, immediately.
It's like a defense
mechanism.
Yeah. Like, we don't have good memories of this.
No.
So, a tangent I want to go off on really quick is...
I'm scared. I don't know.
I had tweeted this in response to something, like, a while ago, but I've been thinking about it. I think that a lot of the times, like, women are like, I'm going to stay... in this relationship with this bum ass because I've already put so much time into this.
Don't even get me started on
and
this.
And it's kind of like, okay, it's called the Peter Principle.
What?
Yeah, so the Peter Principle is like you get promoted until your level of like maxing out. Like that's the best you'll ever be. Like if you ever have a manager that you're like, how the fuck did you get... this job. They're like a middle manager usually.
Yeah.
It's the Peter Principle. They did well at everything else and then they've been promoted to a position where they can no longer succeed past that. And just apply the Peter Principle to these men. He's maxing out at boyfriend, girl. Mm-hmm. He is not fiance material. He is not husband material. Sometimes he just, the best he can do is being your boyfriend for a few months.
It's the Peter Principle.
It's the Peter Principle of dating.
Oh my god. That's fantastic. I've never heard
that before. Yeah, just because he has seniority doesn't mean he's right for the job, girl.
God, that is so fucking... I want to get Peter Principle tattooed on me somewhere. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about that a lot lately. It was just like, this is the... It's the Peter Principle of dating. Like, sometimes they max out at boyfriend.
That I seriously love that. But that's such a real thing of like, I spent so much time on this, I don't want to give up on it now. It's that's called the sunk cost fallacy, where it's like all, you don't want all of the work that you've put in to be for nothing. And that's so fucking universal. Like, when you're with somebody for so long, it's like, well, I can't give up on it now. I worked so hard on it. It's like, no, maybe you got it. You Peter principled out, my guy.
If I, and then if I kick him to the curb, some other girl is going to reap the benefits of my hard work.
I think about that constantly. But
that's not true. That's not true.
It's not. I got to keep reminding myself of that, too. I got to keep reminding myself of it. Because you really do, like, the amount of work that I put into my house, like, the amount of pain that I went through to, like, make... I didn't, like... I don't want to take credit for all the work that he did, because he did a lot of work on himself. But still, like, I went through the hell of him, like, getting to be the person that he is now. And now somebody else just gets to, like, get the best versions of him.
But what about you? Like, he broke your heart, and then you were like, oh, wait. I'm too good to be treated like this.
Yes.
So now I'm going to go find someone who can meet my expectations.
Yes, indeed. And I got high-ass expectations, so watch out, world.
And then some people just have different expectations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe that man needs to be in a different career field.
Maybe he does.
He can go be someone else's husband because it's easier for him to meet those job requirements.
So Peter principle.
The Peter principle.
Peter principle.
But sound words of advice. I was also hoping we could talk about butt stuff.
I am into that idea. I'm gonna crack another one for this conversation.
Have some butt stuff.
What?
Updates. Some butt dates for you.
Okay, hold on. I cannot believe that you and I have not really... Because we usually are talking constantly. And these last few weeks, we've both been so busy. I'm so behind on your life. Did you do butt stuff?
Kind of. Yeah. Dive so, to start it off, guys, I make a lot of jokes about butt stuff. But I'm not experienced in it at all. So... to summarize, when my boyfriend was home visiting family, obviously we were sexting.
Duh.
As you do.
Yeah.
As is tradition. Yeah. Sexting your boyfriend when he's out of town. But I thought it would be fun if he, like, gave me, like, sexy tasks every morning. So that's what we did. And it is very fun. I highly recommend. Like, if you guys are long distance or, like, someone's going to be gone for a while, like, if you're, like, one of you is, like... okay, I want you to do this sexy task. I don't know. So he gave me a different one every morning. And then he was like, if you complete... And he gave some of them, like, extra credit. And then if I completed every single one by the time he came back, then I would get a special surprise.
And I was love like, this idea. It's brilliant.
Oh, my God. A gift? I'm going to work my ass off. And then I was like, I kind of want to know what it is, but I kind of like the idea of you keeping it a secret. And he was like, I think if I told you, you'd work even harder. And I was like, well, you know I'm going to do all the things already. So,
but he didn't tell you.
No, we kept it a secret. I was like, okay, don't tell me. Don't tell me, because I'll be more excited when you do.
Yeah.
And I was stoked. But yeah, and for those of you who are wondering what the surprise was, it was just like a romantic weekend together.
The best.
Which is TBD. Surprise. We'll plan it later. Like, both of us need to be home for a while.
Yeah, sure.
But anyways, one of the tasks was to purchase a butt plug. Your face.
My jaw just hit the ground. And what? Wait, can I see it?
Yeah.
This is exciting. I've never seen a butt plug in life.
I have to find it. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
It's, like, going to take a long time for you to find it. Don't worry about it.
I have a sex drawer.
Okay. Oh, I mean, of course. As one does.
As is tradition.
I'm so... Oh, it's in a nice little... velvet bag, you guys. Wow, it's smaller than I thought it was going to be. I don't know what I was expecting.
Well, some butt plugs are big, but this is the one I got.
Ooh, it's pretty. Did you order it online?
Yeah, I got it on Amazon.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I got a really small one.
Well.
Obviously.
Yeah. Wow, it's, like, pretty.
Yeah, I want it to be cute.
Yeah, right.
Buttholes are already kind of weird to look at.
Totally.
I don't know.
Can you explain, like, what the benefit of a butt plug is?
I feel like, I don't know, I've heard plenty of women say that they, like, come from anal.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, yeah, I practiced by myself. before, like, using it because I was nervous to try it, for obviously.
Of course.
And then I just wanted to, like, know how to use it before. And, like, also maybe I would hate it.
Yeah.
So I just was like, you know what? I'm going to have some me time. Mm-hmm. And figure it out. So I also Googled how to put in a butt plug.
Yeah.
For the first time.
You have to be, like, super relaxed. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, like, otherwise it's, like...
That is the key to it is being relaxed. And also I would recommend, like... You know, some foreplay before mm-hmm. putting in it. You got to be in the mood because then you're a little more relaxed. You're a little more prepared.
Totally.
And then, yeah, I lubed it up. The first time I put it in, I was like, ow!
Yeah, it's a very sensitive gland.
I removed it very quickly. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break for like maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. Do some research.
Do a little Googling. Go to the library.
Look at a little bit of porn.
Yeah.
And then get myself in the mood to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when it was, like, a little more enjoyable.
Okay.
Using it. Yeah. So I was way more comfortable with it. It
wow.
was definitely a lot more fun. I, like, masturbated with it in, and I came, like, instantly.
Really?
I was surprised. It snuck up on me very quickly.
Wow.
I was just, like, having a good time, and then suddenly I was having an orgasm.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I... see the appeal. So then when he came home, we used it, and like it was just a lot of fun. I think it just the idea of like of it in general was already very appealing and kind of like hot to both of us. Is just like it's more of the yeah the idea that like he assigned me this task and then like
absolutely
I did it, and then we're gonna use it
yeah
and then,
absolutely
that was definitely like some mind-blowing sex.
Oh, so you had sex with it, and that was my next question.
Yeah, yeah. So
was
I did.
Was that, like, too much? Like, was that, like, a lot mm-hmm. of...
Actually, no.
Okay.
Surprisingly not.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt great.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
This is a field that I know literally nothing about, so I'm learning right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, I was learning, too, and still
wow.
am. We've only used it the one time, but I was like, I need to talk about this butt stuff experience, because...
Yeah.
I'd always been kind of curious, mm-hmm. and, like, your butt... Your butthole is so sensitive.
So sensitive.
Like, I've had a finger in there, and I didn't like it. So
I've
I was
never,
just like,
never add anything
I mean, I've been curious. So I've been like, hey, why don't we, like, you know, if stuff's heating up, like, why don't we try a finger?
Yeah.
Like.
Why not?
Yeah. Just slip your thumb in. Well, so many girls were like, hey, have your boyfriend slip his thumb in there.
Okay.
Like,
I've
a few years ago. Okay.
Grandpa loves this conversation.
Silence.
It's like, I got things to say.
I have an opinion.
I
watched. No,
oh my god, yeah. He's like, third party here. I have things to say. I've had a few guys ask me if I want them to put their finger in my butt. And I'm like, nope, it's a one-way street for me. But I'm also not a... I just, like, want to be really comfortable with the person that I try it with mm-hmm. for the first time. Like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many horror stories about, like, butt stuff. Like, it just kind of loosens everything up, and then you just, like, shit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to shit everywhere if I'm just, like, on a one-night stand with this guy, you know?
Stop. Yeah, so that's my...
butt
stuff experience. Well, because we haven't really talked about sex in a while.
No, we haven't.
So
really
I was
haven't.
Like...
That's true, we haven't. My parents have been able to listen to the last three episodes.
Well, there's just some kidding. Butt stuff.
There. Hey, guys.
Some butt stuff insight.
I keep looking at it like it's, like,
like it's going to, like, come out of its little bag.
It has a nice little bag.
Yeah.
Did you
it was
order
very
it
cheap. I ordered it from Amazon. I ordered a different one, too, but it wasn't going to come very quickly. Like, it wasn't going
to
be...
so to speak.
The plug didn't come quickly, but I did. No, so I ordered one from, like, some other website, and then when that one came in, so I ordered it to my boyfriend's house because I was going to be moving, and I was like, I don't want it to get mixed up with all of this stuff.
Hey, I used to live in this building. I ordered a butt plug. I think it's in the lobby.
You forward that to me or something? No, so I sent it to his house, and then we, like, opened it together. And it's so big. I was like, what the fuck?
Is
like,
that the smallest size they had?
No, it was just really pretty.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, I want a cute one.
Yeah.
I think it's like rose quartz or something.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I want this cute butt plug.
Yeah.
And so I ordered that one first, and then I was like, okay, I won't be here for a while. So then I ordered the Amazon one because I couldn't wait. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to try this now.
But I keep not wanting to order
it. I'm too curious now. I have to know.
Right. I have like a, like, delayed gratification issues. Like, I keep ordering shit from Amazon because I was like, I want it in the next 3 hours.
The Amazon one was very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And very small.
Yeah.
So that's really nice.
Yeah.
But, we opened it and I was like, this is significantly bigger than the other one. And I was like, their reviews said like this is their first one and they liked it. And he's like, they probably like sort like put those reviews first. And I was like,
oh yeah, that's true.
They are on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes sense.
Yeah, maybe I'll work my way up there.
Yeah, you might. You might.
Otherwise, I'll just have this nice rose quartz butt for aesthetic.
That is hilarious. Just like, yeah, make it like a little like decoration. I mount it on the wall.
I also love the idea of like no one knowing what it is.
Yeah. Somebody's gonna come into your apartment and be like, is that a butt plug? Like, no. It was my grandmother's. Oh my
God. This is a family heirloom?
Yeah. How dare you?
It's a meditation stone. Where you want to put it is none of my business.
Yeah, but right. If you want to make it a butt plug, by all means. Maybe I'll buy one. Now I'm curious. I'm going to have this whole sexual awakening soon. I feel it. I feel it in the air.
Girl, that's what I had.
Yeah, I know you did. I know. I am, like, looking at you as, like, a beacon of hope for me and my sex future. Because, like, right now I'm hooking up with somebody and it's the best sex I've ever had. By far, consistently, every single time. And I feel like there's, like, a step that, like, I'm, like, about to take in my sex life. And, like, I'm seeing all of this, mm-hmm. like, exploration you're doing. Because the sex is unbelievable, but I'm not doing any sort of exploration. I'm young.
Yeah.
I want to explore a little.
It's more encouraging when you're, like, with someone that you feel very comfortable mm-hmm. with. That you're like, okay, I feel safe, like,
yeah,
exploring this.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. It feels like a little safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see.
A sexual safe space.
We'll see. Oh,
yeah. So cool. Well, and, like, I also think that it's encouraging when, like, this is the exact reason we have this podcast.
Mm.
Like, if you have friends talking about it and being like, yeah, I've done this and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, well, maybe I will like that.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely. Always down for a good time.
Yeah.
In the bedroom.
Yeah, why not? I mean, well, like,
sex for me has always been kind of, like, just a thing.
Mm.
Until more recently.
Wow, that's
like,
kind of beautiful.
Like, within the last, like, year. Yeah.
Wow. It's, like, an experience for you now, mm-hmm. rather than just, like, a thing that, like, exists.
For a while, it felt like maybe, like, a little bit of an obligation. It never felt like I was an equal player in having sex.
That's huge.
And I don't blame my partners for that. Like, I think that's definitely, like, my own thing that I had to work through. And it's definitely because of, like, how my ex treated me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I don't feel that way at all. Like,
it
feels like it's for both of us.
That's incredible. When sex is for you as well, it's such an empowering thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I ever expected that. Like, oh, I'm here because, like, this is also for me.
Mm-hmm.
Has been not even just, like, empowering in, like, a sexual sense. It's, like, empowering in a lot of senses. And, like, the moment that you have a partner that, like, allows you to feel empowered and that you feel comfortable enough with yourself that you can feel empowered, it changes everything. Sex entirely changes. It's like, I don't know. It's a cool experience.
Yeah.
It's not just like, we fucked. It's
I
like,
think a lot of people, I think that we are also a little lucky, like, living in Seattle around so many open-minded
men. Yeah,
it has been easier for me to work through the experiences I've had in the past of, like, men getting mad at me for not wanting to hook up.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is that?
Like, my ex expecting it.
Mm.
And then, like, mistreating me when I didn't want to have sex. Because I got to the point, like, before we broke up, I never wanted to have sex. I just remember, like, sometimes you just want to make out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we'd be kissing. Oh, or, like, he'd have his hand on my leg. And I just would immediately, like, tense up because I knew he was going to start, like, pawing at me for sex. And it was never romantic. And it was never for me. And I was just like, Don't want to fucking do this.
It's like you don't even want to start making out with them because of that.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's that's like, exactly I how I felt.
Or even like spooning. It's like spooning is going to mean something. It's like, no, sometimes I just like want other things.
That is on the nose. Mm-hmm. That is always how I felt. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to be like, okay, like I just want to have like a really passionate makeout session with this guy, but like I don't want to fuck.
Mm-hmm. Is that too much to ask? No.
And most people are very reasonable. You have been going through... The last time we recorded, you got an email from your ex.
Okay.
Literally right when we were done recording.
This is... Liz had to watch me have a panic attack, and that was a whole thing.
I... As someone who was witnessing it, I was like, fuck, I don't know. I need to help. I
so just don't, sweet.
I probably seemed like I was like... just waiting it out, but that's, I was like, I was Googling how to help someone having a panic attack.
So sweet.
I was like, play it cool. Don't let her know that you're panicking.
I had no idea. Okay, I was like, I thought maybe you were just like watching me, and honestly, like having you.
No,
there,
I was like, I'm not gonna look. I'm just gonna let her have the panic attack.
And... It helps to have it around somebody because there's almost the added pressure of being like, you gotta pull it together quick because you're gonna scare this person. Even though I knew I wasn't going to, I was still like. Like, Amelia, like, Liz's, I am in Liz's apartment having a full panic attack. And I was thinking, like, if I was home when that, and I'll get into the story, but if I was home when that happened, like, last time I had this whole, like, episode with him specifically, like, I went into a full, I, like, blacked out for 45 minutes. Like, that was the biggest panic attack I've ever had.
And that's like, when you were in Florida, right?
That was when my parents were in Florida, so I was home alone.
Oh, and then they were like, you need to come out here.
Yeah, and that was when I got my Xanax prescription re-upped because I called my mom 16 times. In the middle of the night, and she woke up thinking, like, I died. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs for, like, an hour. Yeah. But my neighbors weren't home. Thank God, because we live in townhouses, so we, like, share a wall with the neighbor. My mom was like, if the neighbors were home, the cops would have gotten called, for sure. Because I was like, it was bad. So luckily, I was with you this time, so I could, like, pull it together. And then I went
That's
to Katie's
totally happened
right
to
after.
Me, where I'm like, I'm about to have a panic attack, but then other people are around, and you're like... Okay, I'm going to find a thing to focus on and, like, catch my breath.
Yeah, grounding really helps. That's the thing. It's like, okay, what can I see? What can I hear? What can I smell? Like, that's what has been working for me. But also, the last time I had a panic attack, just in general, not about him, I was in my therapist's office. And she watched me have it, so she could tell me what I do when I have a panic attack, which was really helpful.
The best person to watch a panic
I was
attack.
Like, this is perfect, yes. Let's just ride this one out. She told me that when I have a panic attack, I like breathe in a lot, but I never breathe out. And so like it gets me lightheaded and then like keeps amping up the panic attack. So I was able to like breathe out too, which helps a lot. So anyway, it was kind of cool to like be able to talk myself down from it.
Yeah.
Which was good.
That's but huge.
It was nice. So anyway, so getting into the story. So I haven't really talked about my ex much on the holy hour because like out of respect for him because it's really easy to find out who he is if you don't know me, but I've since cleared out everything from all of my social media that has to do with him. Yeah,
that's huge.
I know, archived all of his photos. I made all of my photos on Facebook private just so like I blocked him on Facebook, but still like he had commented a bunch, I guess. Somebody messaged me and was like, hey, just so you know, it's like really easy to find out like who he is just based on like comments, like, you know. So I like did a whole scrub, so I feel safe talking about it now. Last time I talked about him was that I was stopping dating so that I could focus on getting over him. And then I saw him soon thereafter. And it was like, I don't even want to get into how it happened, but basically like we saw each other and he made a move and he like did all of this shit to make me feel like he was progressing with me and like how he was feeling about me and like wanting to try again. So I got in my head again for the first time in a year that he was interested in like sparking things back up.
Did you guys say I love you to each other?
Yeah, I mean he was saying like I love you on the phone. He was saying stuff like he doesn't want to lose me and like he doesn't want to see me with anybody else, like all this shit. So
can I
please
jump in?
Yeah,
so obviously like I knew all this and then other people listening don't know this. And then when you got that email from him, it was cold-blooded.
Oh, yeah.
It was insanely cruel.
Well, yeah. So that brings us
like,
to...
Like, my heart dropped into my stomach.
Honestly,
reading it.
That was the fucking worst. I'll speed up the story because it could, like... It could take, like, literal weeks to talk about it because there's so much context. But, like, over, like, the last few weeks after I'd seen him, we were talking quite a bit. He was saying stuff like, he doesn't want to be with me, but he doesn't want to be with anyone. Like, it's not me. He just wants to, like, focus on himself. He just started feeling good, and so he just wants to, like, foster that feeling and focus on himself. So then I asked him if he ended up getting involved with someone else to tell me, because I don't want to hear through the grapevine that he's with someone else.
Finding out because they didn't tell you fucking sucks.
So much worse.
Well, and the last time he started dating someone, Amelia had a bad feeling about that girl, but then also someone kept like anonymously messaging Amelia about it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't, why is that a thing?
I don't know.
Like the anonymous messages?
I don't know.
That is the thing that keeps happening to you.
I also don't know how, because I've been looking up like how to send anonymous messages, because I'm like, is there an app? Like, could I track out like who it is through the like an app? But there's no app. So I think it's what's like somebody makes just like a blank account and then deletes it after they see that I read the message, because I can never answer, and when you click through the profile it doesn't exist. But I got a message back in, what was that, January, from somebody that was just like, hey, your ex is dating, enter name here, just thought that you should know. And so I had to message him and say,
hey, like, I got this fucking,
like,
weird.
I just sent him a screenshot and he was like, can I call you? And that was like 2 months after we broke up. After, and we were on a break, like a whole Ross and Rachel situation. So that was pretty shitty. But anyway, so
this cold-blooded email, the last time we recorded.
So yeah, that brings us to now, where I asked him if he was dating somebody else, if he could just tell me. And he said, I don't think that that's healthy. And I said, I just would rather not find out through the grapevine. That's all that I want. I just want to find out from you. All I'm asking for is honesty. All I've asked for the last year is honesty. He was like, okay, yes, we can agree on that. I need space because my dad's coming to town. I said, okay. A week later, I started to notice that he was removing all of my friends as followers on Instagram, and he was private. And I was like, that's a little shady. What's going on? And then I got a screen recording from somebody of his story. And he was with the girl that he was dating back in January. It was like a picture of them at a wedding.
My eyebrows are up to my hairline. I'm like,
yeah. It was a very coupley photo. And so I texted him and I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what is going on? He never answered. And then I called him the next day, Sunday, when we were recording. And it went right to voicemail. So I knew that he had blocked my number. And then I called from a blocked number and it rang, so I, like, confirmed that. And then I emailed him, like, a fucking psycho, because it's like, how the hell, like, what are you just going to fade into the mist and just, like, expect me to be okay with that? And, yeah, like, right, like, that meme.
Just, like, disappear. I love you. I want to be with you. Not right now.
But, yeah, right. I don't want to be with anybody was his exact words. And when I asked him if he would tell me if he was with someone, he said that he wasn't at that point. So
I'm not then, like, too. I'm not like with them physically. Like they're not sitting next to me.
Yeah. Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. That's what you're asking, right?
Okay. I love you.
That's good enough, right? Fucking so. Yeah. I love you. When we hung up the phone after that conversation, he said, I love you. When we hung up the phone, he said it first. So anyway.
I hate him.
So I emailed him and I was like, what is going on? Like, did something happen? Like, are you upset at me about something? Like, I'm freaking out. Just tell me what I did wrong. And then, like, I'll leave you alone. Like, I'm getting your message loud and clear. He didn't answer for, like, 3 hours. I don't even need to read the email because I've memorized it by now. Right after we, like, hit stop on recording our Halloween episode, I get the notification that he emailed me back. And all it said was... This is after 9 years, you guys. 9 years. This is how he decided to end it. He says, Amelia, after a lot of time and thought, I've realized where my heart is, and it is not with you. Please do not contact her or I anymore. I need to be happy, and so do you. I wish the best for you. I truly do. First of all, why the fuck would I ever reach out to her? I've never in my life... reached out to, like, an ex's new girl. And he knows that that's not in my nature. So, like, first of all, that's fucked up. Second of all, like...
I feel like it's probably him trying to get in front of, like, you being like, hey, by the way, on this day we hooked up and he said I love you to me.
Right. Which, you know, I easily could. Because that's fucked up. Because a lot of people are like, I bet he cheated on her with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of people are also saying that they think she wrote the email. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think that she was probably applying some sort of pressure. But I don't think she wrote the email. I don't know. Who knows? I'll never know.
Literally, almost the exact fucking thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah,
a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just a year ago. I don't know.
The icing out is the most inappropriate fucking way to end a long relationship. It is so immature. And it would be one thing if, like, I was just, like, trying really, really hard to get back together with him and he was, like, giving me no signs and then he, like, needed to block me because I was crazy. Like, he was giving me these indications that, like, he was moving along romantically with me and it was, like, what I had been working hard at for, like, a while at that point. So... I never answered. I wrote a very long email, like, in my notes section back to him. But then I was like, for what? Like, he's probably not going to read it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just need to give myself closure because I'm never going to have context that I need. I'm never going to know what happened. I'm never going to know the truth of it. And, like, that's really
the worst
fucked
part.
Up.
Yeah, it's the hardest part, and it's the worst part, is not knowing.
Right. I have nothing
and
to
anchor
any
of this to.
And then
it's like, okay, clearly you don't have the maturity to just tell me the fucking truth.
Yeah.
So, congratulations for... making this even harder.
Seriously, it was so cruel.
We have said this so many times. The easiest and best thing you can do is just tell the truth.
Yes.
Even if it hurts, tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now I have the pain of, like, what happened and also the pain of being betrayed. And, like, this was a betrayal on so many fucking levels. Like, it's so fucked up that, like, he would think that 9 years, we grew up together. Like, we dated all through college and then, like, 3 years after college... He's punishing me for
the audacity.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I asked for some space back in what was that? September of 2019, just for like a sec, because like he had asked for a couple of breaks in the past, and I took him back right away, and I never made use of the space. Like I was worried about what he was doing the whole time while he was like fucking like gallivanting off. And he started dating her, like immediately. Like, he jumped ship so fucking fast after telling me that he was gonna wait. And so I started dating. And that was when I, like, really hit the ground running with dating. And then he found out that I was dating through the holy hour. What's up?
He was like, wait, you're dating other people?
Right, like, oh, sorry, like, I'm just think I'm gonna, like, wait around, like, while you're creating this new life? No, that's not how it fucking works. What is so, like... surprising to me about this whole thing is, like, I feel like I was hypnotized. It's such a weird feeling.
I know exactly what you mean.
I got that email,
who were either of
us? Yes, exactly. And it was almost instant. I was like, what the fuck have I been doing? Like, it was so weird. And, like, for the first time in 9 years, literally, I feel like I'm making decisions for myself. Like, even when I was, like, dating and, like, meeting all these amazing guys, there was still a part of me that was like, well, I have to keep myself, like, semi-available, like, just in case he comes back. And, like, for the first time, I'm, like, making choices for myself. Like, even stupid shit, like, posting pictures on Instagram, like, just, like, for me and, like, not in case, like, he sees it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm making decisions, like, completely, like, as an individual for the first time.
And it's weird because you recognize, you're like, fuck, that was, like, that behavior was so influenced by these feelings I didn't even want to admit to myself.
Yes, yes.
And, like, when you're hypnotized to that level, it's just, like, once the fog is gone, you're just like, what?
Well, yeah, what the fuck was I doing? And, like, I was putting so much energy into somebody that I didn't even know anymore. Like, the person that I broke up with in last year... is an entirely different person than the person that sent me that email. And that is very scary. I don't even recognize
it. It's insane that you're saying this right now because I was going through an old notebook. It might even be... I don't know. It's over there. I was going through this old notebook to find a piece of paper to, like, just write my grocery list on. And I found a letter I had written to my ex. And it was, like... I never sent it to him, or obviously it's still in his notebook, but, like, I had written, like, the person you have become is not the person I fell in love with, and I, like, don't recognize you anymore. And that's terrifying to me. And it's true. Like, he just was not, like, he had become this person that was, like, so different than the person I fell in love with.
Yes.
That is. And then you stick around because you're like, I know that person's there.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But sometimes they're not.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It sucks because, like, and I think I've said this on the podcast before. It might have been edited out because, like, I hadn't ever really wanted to talk about him. But, like, he loved me exactly how I felt that I deserved to be loved and then more. Like, he loved me so much and I loved him so much. And, like, to have to separate my brain from that version of him has been really, really painful because, mm-hmm. like, he was, like, my absolute best friend. And that was another big reason I didn't want to talk about him on the podcast because, like, I respected him so much and, like, I loved him so much. And, like, the blatant lack of respect that he has shown me, like, just in the past 2 months, like, since I saw him has been, it is like he is no longer there. Like,
yeah. Well, and he got, like, upset that you had this podcast,
mm-hmm.
yeah. which is a big red flag to me. I was like, okay, he's so jealous of you having a thing mm-hmm. without him.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I had seen in the letter I had written to my ex, I had forgotten that he had said this to me, but he was like, he kept saying, like, you're always going to be part of me. And then I was like, I don't want anything I've done or, like, I don't want any piece of me to be part of who you are now because mm-hmm. who you are now is atrocious. Like, yeah. I don't want any association with the person you've become.
Wow.
And I don't think I ever said that to him either, but that's what I had written in that letter. I was just like, I don't want to be a part of the version you are now.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's also, like, a testament to how much I've changed,
mm-hmm.
like, and how much he's changed, obviously, but it's just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you just grow in different directions from people. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you outgrow people for sure.
And that was pretty obvious when I moved to Seattle, and then
mm-hmm.
I honestly think he always knew after I agreed to move that he was not going to meet the expectations I have for how I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, married now, and he's married to the girl he rebounded with and cheated on. So I think that, you know, her agreeing to marry him despite him cheating on her, that's something I would never do.
Yeah.
I would never stay with or forgive someone for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he found someone who will allow that. Yeah. And, like, that's the kind of partner he needs, mm-hmm. is someone who will forgive that behavior. But that's not me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be me.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I think, like, that's probably more of a more extreme example of, like, why it never would have worked.
Yeah.
But he gave me so many reasons to not trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a doubt in my mind that he probably cheated on me. Like, I'll never know the truth.
But yeah, but I mean, like, fuck. Like,
when someone says, you're the only person I've never cheated on.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, statistically, you're lying to me.
Yeah, right.
And you're a man of math.
yeah, how about you do the math for me on that one, my guy?
You pulling a Trump on me? Or?
Yeah, well, right. It kind of sounds like it. Ew, that's okay. Awful. God, okay. I'm so fucking sorry. I've been cheated on in almost every relationship I've been in. So the math is kind of against me, too.
We'll find you a different
one. Oh, but my God.
When you're ready.
I know. Well, now, so, like, when I talked about, like, so this is kind of, this is probably not right to say, but, like, I really am very focused on, like, myself and, like, getting to know myself right now, and I'm 100% dedicated to that. But last time I talked about him, I was, like, not going to date anyone. Like, I need to focus on getting over him. And, like, I feel over him, but, like, not over the situation. I'm not over the relationship,
yes, yeah.
But I'm not, like, I can, for the first, people keep asking me, like, what if he came back tomorrow and asked for you back? And
you're
I can,
like, confidently say, this ain't the motherfucking Corpse Bride.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye. I know.
He's
this is
gone.
This is the first time in 9 years that, like, I would say
that's
no.
The best feeling, too.
Yeah.
When you're, like, when my mom told me that my ex was engaged, she was like, did you ever think you would get back together with him? And I was like, absolutely not. Like, it got to a point where I was like, I would never take him back.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he could do or say that would fix anything.
That is such an empowering fucking feeling.
And when you get there, you're like, I'm glad. And there's always going to be steps that, like, there's going to be something that happens that is going to put you even more on the right path. I know. Even more where you're like, oh, I need to work on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Internally. And, like, the more you do that and work it out in your head, the further along you are.
Yeah.
And, like, I still don't forgive my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't, I'm, like, at peace not having to forgive
him. That's the thing. I think you can move on peacefully without, like, forgiving the person who hurt you. And that is a powerful fucking move, too. Mm-hmm. To be like, I do not forgive you, and it does not bother me that I don't. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Because I really don't think I'm ever gonna forgive my ex. Like, what he's done. And, like, I think for sure, I'm feeling very empowered right now. But
and
like,
if you forgive him, I won't, so.
So somebody will be around to remind me.
Someone will never forgive him.
I.
If you're listening. I'm not God, but I'll never forgive you.
I bet he is listening. I bet somebody is going to tell him about
this. Well, so my favorite thing that Amelia has done with this breakup is she started just, like, sharing how she was doing on TikTok.
It's
like,
been such a great thing.
How badass is that? To just be like, fuck it. I am not okay, and I'm gonna talk about it. And I don't care if you don't want people to know. Like, if you don't want people to know that your behavior sucks, then don't do it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You can't be like, oh, I'm gonna treat you like shit and I hope you don't tell anyone.
Uh-huh.
Fuck you.
No, you don't know. No, like, you're so right.
Like, if you don't want people to talk about your shitty behavior, then
don't do shitty things.
Yeah, exactly.
Period. The thing about him is, like, every time he did something shitty and I was like, that's shitty, he would be like, oh, no, it's not. Like, he would gaslight me, like, making a move on me. When I saw him, I asked him about that and he was like, oh, it just felt natural. It didn't really mean anything. That is gaslighting. You don't get to tell me the experience that I had was not true because you don't want to take responsibility for it. Period. And so I started this thing on TikTok where the night that he sent me that email, I was at home alone and I was sitting there and I was thinking and I was like, I wish that I could just, like, see, like, videos of, like, chapters of someone's healing so that I could see it get better day over day. And I was like, why don't I just fucking do it? And I was like, I bet, like, 50 people are gonna see it. I woke up in the morning and it had, like, 6,000 views, my day one thing. And as the day went on, it's at, like, 850,000 views now. It's been sent, like, 3,000 times.
Well, because I texted you to check in on you. And then you were like, I made a TikTok talking about this. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I was like, oh, my God. She did that. I was so, like, I'm reading the comments. I, like, started crying. I was just like, oh, my God, all of these women have, like, gone through something similar.
Yes.
Like, because I think, like, this is the truest thing is that heartbreak feels so lonely.
It's so isolating.
You feel so alone. Mm-hmm. But it is such a universal experience.
Yes. It's been so good for me. Everybody has been so fucking kind. And I'm really lucky. I have such an incredible support system in real life. Real life. Like, TikTok isn't real life. In person. Mm-hmm. But, like, to have now
complete
I have
strangers
who owe me nothing be like, here's my experience. I have 55 unread messages on Instagram right now from people that are just, like, sharing their stories with me because they can't message me on TikTok if I don't follow them.
I love that.
It has been so incredible. Like, everybody, it's like I have this, like, itty bitty little community. And I posted this video yesterday for my day over day. And I'm like, hey, like, there is an entire election going on right now. And I don't feel right talking about myself. I was like, I know you guys probably don't care, but, like, I just wanted to fill you in. I got all these comments from people that were like, oh my God, I've been refreshing your TikTok. I've been wondering when we'd hear from you. Like, we totally do care. Like, don't think that we don't. Uh-huh. I was like, like, they're just such nice
friends.
People. I feel like I've found such nice people. Because TikTok can
I
be
love
so
that.
Mean.
Yeah, it can be.
And, like,
but I feel like it's accurately mean. Like,
that's
if
true.
You are being a bum-ass douchebag,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna hear about it.
That's so true. That's so true. And then every time anybody comes into my comments, like, being, like, a dick, all the nice people attack them, and then that person deletes their comment. I have, like, a little mob. It's so nice.
Well, some fucker, like, on that first video was like, this is not the way you should be doing this. And I was like, okay, why don't you deal with your own heartbreak in your own time?
Liz okay? was like my attack dog in the comments.
I was so fucking annoyed. I was like, somebody that well, claimed. Maybe he shouldn't behave this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he wouldn't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah. How about that? How we take it's that just
like now he's being like forced to feel bad about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's that person.
And that's not your problem.
To know.
They're like, I know both sides. I was like, bitch, get out of here.
Right.
I'm like, clearly you don't.
They were saying stuff like him and I had different ideals about kids. No. The kids was like one of the things that we agreed about. So I'm like, you are clearly getting false information or you don't know both of us. It's one of the two. So like,
well, and if they really did know both of you, they would just talk to you themselves.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be like, I'm going to make an anonymous account.
No.
I'm tired of that shit.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Stop making anonymous accounts.
It's fucking dumb. This has been a theme now.
Fuckers, yeah. I did not have any anonymous account business until you and I started recording a podcast. Mm-hmm. I was just like...
No, it's...
Fine.
It's fucking so skeezy. But Liz was reminding me, I was thinking, when I got that comment from that person, was like, I hope you handle this in a more mature way. And I messaged Liz, and I was, like, kind of freaking out about that, like, I was like, oh my god, like, what if he sees this? Liz was like, you're allowed to talk about this however you want to talk about it. And that's so fucking true, and that just, like, put more wind in my sails, and I was like, I'm doing this every fucking day. Because, like, I felt so empowered to do it until that person came into my comments, and so now I need to just keep, like... reminding myself why I'm doing it, and like, this is my experience, and like, it's helping a lot of people. Clearly, like, people are telling me that's helping them.
Yeah, creating a community around heartbreak, I think, is like a very useful way of like to use your energy.
Yeah, I like, think so too.
Because yeah, you're talking about the truth of like what happened, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, the focus is how you're finding healing.
Yes,
and. Not everyone knows how to do that. And I think another important thing to mention is, like, not everyone has access to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that secondary, like, insight is really helpful.
Yeah.
And, like, when you started making those videos and I was just like, yeah, I actually wish that I had, like, some sort of community like this when I was going through it.
Mm-hmm. It's been so...
I just had to tap into my rage. That was all I had was anger. And now that it's gone, I'm like, I don't want to work out. I want to lay down.
That's a form of self-care.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that. No, it's been good.
Oh,
like,
I love myself too much. Fuck. Yeah,
I'm just gonna... guess I'm just gonna
take a nap.
Horizontal eat like grandpa. But it's like whenever I'm sad or angry or depressed or anything, like I need to channel that towards something productive. Like that's just like how I cope is like being like, okay, how can I use this? And I feel like I found the thing. It's been really good.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of propelled me to like take things into my own hands even more. Like I called my therapist again and like I'm on a new SSRI after like a whole fucking nightmare of a first SSRI experience.
Please explain what an SSRI
yes.
is for Thank people for who asking. Don't know, including don't, maybe me. Let's find out.
We're going to learn today.
What does she know? Let's find out.
I don't 100% like know the science behind it. I know there's SRIs and SSRIs, so I'm not even going to pretend like I know the difference, but an SSRI is an anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication. I took Lexapro the first time and it was a fucking nightmare. Like and this is a thing that when you're trialing mental health drugs, like a lot of people have to try a few things and sometimes you have to get like a cocktail of things based on like how you react to the first thing, and it was a mess. The first psychiatrist that I've had, everybody knows by now, was a dickbag, and like I didn't want to take anything that he gave me. So I met this we have new insurance through work, which is so nice. And so I found a whole host of new psychiatrists, and I found a psychiatric nurse who is like my twin flame. I love her so much. She is so warm and she understands like when I talk to her.
It's so hard to find the right therapist, the right psychiatrist.
So hard. It's like dating. It really, really is. It's like, who's the person that's going to click with me the best?
And it's hard to like not get disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah. I still can't find a psychiatrist.
It's hard work. I should give you her name, too. Yeah. Like, I really, really think you'd like her.
Please, take me.
Yeah. And she's doing all telehealth right now, too, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's just incredible. And, like, she was basically, like, I hear you and I understand your anxieties around this, and we're going to do whatever you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. She like drew out a picture of like synapses, like brain synapses for me to show me like why I like can't be happy and like what I'm lacking and how SSRIs help with like my norepinephrine and like my dopamine receptors. Like they're like pumping out too much than they're receiving. Like she was explaining all this shit to me and like drawing me graphs. And I was like, okay, I'll take anything you give me. So she let me start really, really slow on this new, I'm taking Prozac. I feel like a 50-year-old woman. I feel like that's like such like a middle-aged woman drug.
But her reasoning was so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that this is probably a common fear for a lot of people, myself included, is just like taking a medication is scary.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so this is going to change my brain chemistry.
Yes.
And then Katie told you this, that you've told me therapy changes your brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it in that perspective, it's just like everyone I've talked to who has taken antidepressants has said that therapy has been more effective for them.
Yeah.
Once they start taking antidepressants.
It's like the extra tool to kind of like get you there.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm so
and
fucking hyped.
Like, also, I know tons of people, too, who only take them for a period of time.
Yep.
Because, like, situational depression is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think everyone's been there at some point. So, you don't have to panic. If you're just, like, going through it right now, you can have situational depression.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have that.
That's a thing. And what these...
And you also only have your life frame of reference. You
yes.
don't have to be like, ugh, I shouldn't feel like this because there's so much worse things happening to other people.
That's something I get caught up in a lot. I'm like, what do I have to be depressed about? It's like, no, Amelia, you have a chemical imbalance and
yeah.
that's why you're depressed.
Yeah.
Like, you could have everything in the fucking world and everything could be dandy. The state of the world could be dandy and you would still be sad because, like, that's how your brain is making you feel. And how my psychiatrist explained it was, like, because I'm on, like, a 9-month to 12-month kind of, like, that's how long we're
planning on
having me on it. Because what it does is it, like, resets your synapses is what it does so that they, like, function more, like, efficiently by themselves. Like, it just kind of resets everything. So it's not, like, the drug that's really doing the work. It's your brain is doing the work with the help of the drug. So I'm like, does that mean that I'm not going to be depressed after all of this? I don't know. Maybe I'll be on it my whole life. But, like, I feel so, like, empowered right now to just, like, take my mental health into my own hands.
I
and,
just
like,
wanna, like...
Okay.
Give you a standing ovation.
It feels really cool. And like the first week of Prozac not being a total nightmare, like last night I kind of started to feel like a little dissociated. It was scary, but I was able to be like, okay, nope, this is the drugs. Like I'm not like falling into like a pit right now. Like this is actually just like my brain is getting used to these drugs I'm taking. So I don't know. It's I'm looking forward to the future. Like I think this is going to be a really good thing for me and I'm so ready to stop being sad and anxious. Like... I'm just so done with it. And it's not going to just go away, too. It's just going to help me, like, get the tools in my tool belt that I need to be the best version of myself.
I'm very interested to see how you're going to, like, think about the past in a few months and see this experience in, like, 6 months.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Everyone's telling me to, like, duet with my first TikTok, like, every month.
Ooh,
I
like that.
Idea. So it'll be cool to look back on it.
Well, so when you after you were sharing like your updates on TikTok, I was like, you know what? I'm on the other end of this now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going through my old pictures because I was deleting a whole bunch of old stuff on my phone, and I saw like I was like, I want to share this on Instagram. So I did do that like kind of comparison of like my old picture of where I just like originally I thought that picture was so cute and then I was looking at like a more recent picture of myself and I was like this is like not even like my best picture of myself and the difference is insane. Like I edited that first picture and the second picture I did not edit at all. Same phone.
Yeah. Wow.
The natural sunlight in both. Guys, I have aged in reverse.
So she actually has. She's like Benjamin Button.
And it was like 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at myself in that picture, I just looked very sad. And it's because I was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And like my life was like up in the air at that point. And I was in this relationship that was just like, I'm still getting my way out of like the effects that it's had on me.
Mm-hmm. Like, we do for a long time.
And it's hard to not be enraged about it sometimes, where I'm just like, you treated me so poorly and were able to manipulate me, and I like pride myself on being like a smart and cognizant person, and this person was able to make me feel so like alone and bad about myself.
This is the thing, it's like about forgiving people. People always say it's like the mature thing to do is like forgive people, but I think that allowing yourself to not forgive someone is like an act of self-respect in a sense, because you're able to look back now and be like, how the fuck did you ever treat me like that? Like, fuck you. Yeah. And staying mad about that says a lot about like how much you respect yourself. So I think that that's a powerful thing in itself.
Well, and I tell people now, like, I, the relationship I'm in right now, like, yeah, it is very new, but like the thing I like about it is just that we're so candid and honest with each other, that and respectful of each other's feelings. And like the more I think about it, I'm like, I could never go back to any other type of relationship, like even friendships. Like, I, this is the only kind of relationship I want to have in my life where like we both can share how we feel and know that we're going to be heard and respected.
Yes.
And, like, yeah, that I, like, obviously I can't say that, like, I was definitely not the person I am now when I was in that relationship. But, like, my, I just remember my chest always hurt. My chest constantly hurt. Like, my stomach always hurt. Mm. I, like, constantly had gas.
Oh, God.
And my skin was really bad. And, like, I don't know. I just did not like feel good about myself. I didn't feel good in general. And then like just seeing the side-by-side comparison, like even I needed to see it. I was just like, holy shit, I am on the other end of this.
Yes.
Like, and yeah, stuff is still gonna come up that I'm gonna work on, but it's not gonna be impossible now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it just
absolutely
the I feel like my therapist has done so much like unraveling that now, like, when we talk, it's more like a conversation and less of her like, okay,
yeah,
let's go back to this thing because it's problematic.
yeah That's really, that's cool that you like you are able to attack things differently now, like that it's been unraveled for you. The psychosomatic effects that like a relationship has on you when it's bad is something I don't think people talk about enough. Like, people like losing a lot of weight when they're in a bad relationship because they're just like nauseous all the time.
Yeah,
like that is a real thing.
Oh,
that
my
is
friends,
universal.
My friends told me I looked sick.
Mm-hmm.
That they were like, "You are like glowing now," and this was even just after like a few months of living in Seattle. They're like, "You seem so happy," even though I was going through this breakup where I felt like shit. Like, I still was like, my soul was just like, "Okay, this is the right thing." Like, I am on the right path. And even though it's hard, I'm making the right steps for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was made a huge difference.
Yes.
Like, I just finally felt like I was in a place that I needed to be in. I had a moment yesterday where I was, like, kind of, like, cleaning stuff up. And I, like, caught a glimpse of myself in that mirror. And I, like, got chills because I was, like, looking out these big windows in Seattle with, like, the rain on the windows. And I was just, like, holy shit, like,
this is my
place. I live here. I live in Seattle. I like live in this apartment by myself and I'm in love with it, and I have these two awesome cats, and like I have this job that I moved here for.
A moment.
Yeah, I was just like, holy fuck, this is like what it's all about. This is what I've been working for.
Yeah, seriously. It's so good. This is like a testament to trusting your gut, because you had that last place that you could have moved into before that you were like happy about, but you weren't like excited about. And then when you texted me that, like, you're like, I found the perfect place and it's mine if I want it, I was like, oh no, this is it. Like, you just seemed more excited about it, and now you're fucking here.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Okay, fuck, marry, kill. SpongeBob. Squidward. And Sandy.
Oh, and Sandy?
Yeah, we're going to throw Sandy in there. I was going to say Patrick, but we got to throw our girl Sandy in there.
I would marry Sandy.
Why?
She's just reliable. She's got that like bossy girl energy that I think is really hot.
She's great house.
Yeah. She's got her shit together.
She has a lot of plants.
Yeah.
You like plants?
I do. I have killed a couple.
She'll keep them alive.
Yeah. Oh God. Between SpongeBob and Squidward.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably fuck Squidward.
That's what I was thinking too. Because SpongeBob would drive me nuts.
Oh, for sure.
He would not be a good fuck. And he's gay, you know?
That's true. And the creators did say that.
I'll marry him if he needs a beard, but if I have to live with him, I will launch myself into the sun.
Absolutely.
So I think I would just kill SpongeBob.
That's fair. I would probably say the same.
He's very annoying.
You couldn't marry Squidward. Like, no. He's such a Debbie Downer.
I can't deal with that.
Squidward feels like he'd, like, do a really good, like, hate fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say this with a straight face. But, like, not for marriage.
Mm-mm. No.
You'd resent him after, like, a month.
I need to marry someone stable like Sandy.
Yeah. Sandy is an established bitch. And, like, mm-hmm. you know she would go to bat for you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good answer.
I didn't come prepared with a marry, fuck, kill.
That's okay. I feel like that was... All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
This has been great. This has felt like therapy for me. I've missed doing this.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been 3 weeks. It feels totally like not that long ago, but also forever ago.
Yes. 100%.
And I'm just glad that we're back at it.
Me too. Be more consistent with
it. Yeah, I'm glad we're back at it again with the white fans.
With the white claws. Back at it again with the white claws.
Love you. Love you. I'm gonna try. Wait, I want to harmonize with you.
Okay.
Wait, no, you have to stay.
I'm so sorry. Okay,
stay.
Okay, 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 okay. Sorry, I panicked.
Now I'm laughing. Okay, bye.